Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, on this 15th day of February 2024, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have on the board in the glass cage back there our producer, none other than Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And we have two What's Right, What's Left radio ministry contributors here tonight. But I don't know if I'll tell you their names because, well, I will. Okay. We have, you heard the cackle. That is Miss Cackle. That's her. No. It's Lisa Hickman. Say hi, Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
All right. There you were supposed to say hi, Lisa Hickman.
Oh.
It's Lisa Hickman. Okay.
Oh.
And then sitting next to her, completely confused about all of this, is Randolph Gay. Hey, Randolph.
Hey, be blessed. No stress,
yeah.
Everyone.
Oh. Yeah. It's a little weird, but it's fun, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you can't make fun of yourself, then I guess somebody else will make fun of you, huh? Title of the message. Who remembers the title of the message? I remember the title of the message. If I'm not afraid of burning in hell, he said. Do you know who it was that said that? Ron Reagan Jr. And he was mocking. He was making a mockery out of the fact that he's an atheist and how atheism is growing in the United States. His dad wouldn't be very happy with him, would he?
No.
No, absolutely not.
His father would be pretty ashamed of him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even his father, but I'm ashamed of him, okay? But anyhow, and so God's not mocked. I mean, God is not mocked. And I hope he learns to repent of that because, well, if not, he's in for an extremely rude awakening, huh?
Yes.
Here's what it says in what God has said in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And tonight we're going to pick up where we left off. Over in Isaiah chapter 5, starting with verse 13. So, Randy, let's read 13 through 15.
So, 13 through 15, here we go. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled.
All right, so there you go. He's making a couple points here, and he says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself in a female gender. How would you account for that, Lisa?
Well, oh, females are Hillary's.
All right, there Jezebel's you go. Well, there's around. Some that are associated with hell. All right.
Yes.
How about that adage, hath no fury like a woman?
Yeah. All righty, but folks, we're only kidding you. We don't think that all the women are going to hell. But the Bible says most of them are. In fact, most people are, unfortunately. Anyhow, so he goes and he says this, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, as it were with a cart rope. So what is he? What do you think that means to those that woe unto those? Because he gives you six different woes here, okay? And so what do you think he means by that?
This is the prophet speaking the voice, the message of God to people involved in, we'll call it graft and destruction and the manipulation of a nation that don't honor God.
So what is iniquity?
Sin.
Sin.
Iniquity is sin. So he says there.
They're flaunting it.
Those that draw, and that word means to pull their sin, to display sin. They, in other words, they flaunt their sins in front of God as if it were in a cart being pulled by a rope, okay? Give me some examples.
How about open sin? Let's call it homosexuality, the sexual sins, abortion, to stand up and say what Mr. Reagan said, I'm not afraid of hellfire. You know, people, there have been people that stood up and said, God's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And then they would chant some obscenity or some dare or curse or whatever you want to call it, those types of sins, blatant, overt sin where they know it's sin and they're challenging God because God is slow to act on doing something about it. You know, I can do this and God's not going to do anything about it. And then they do whatever that is.
And the sodomite shame parades, too.
So in other words, by promoting what they call LGBTQ as a lifestyle when God calls it an abomination, right?
Yes.
I was just reading here where he tells you that he mentioned six different lies that the pro-death movement is you know, promoting now as they're trying to run on the entire Democratic Communist Party. Their main issue to run on is killing children. They're, you know, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day.
Yes.
And he says all of those that hate God love death. So the entire Democratic Communist Party is gone. God hates, right?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this, because one of the things it says here, one of the lies that they tell is that if there's two states, I guess, that have totally outlawed abortion, that if that happens, that every state that outlaws the baby killing, that they're responsible because women will die. So what does the Bible say about women who kill their babies?
Oh, that well, come on. He's going to expose the blood that's in their skirt, that he's going to shame them. You know, and like you said, they that hate him love death.
Right.
So in Genesis 9:5-7, it says those that kill the child, they deserve to die.
Yes, deserve
they
to die.
They that's deserve right. to die. Mm-hmm. Okay, so these people say, well, if you outlaw, if you make women, if you stop them from killing their babies, well, then they'll die. Well, the Bible says if they kill their babies, they deserve to die, right?
They deserve to die. That's
what about
right.
over in Deuteronomy chapter 20, it talks 1-5? What about those that assist in offering up their children to Moloch or killing children, what he's referring to, he says that those people, the abortionists, should be put to death. And if the people refuse to do that, then God says those people should be put to death.
Sure. And what you have also is that in the ancient times, they would say, let us, meaning the corrupt temple priests, if you will, kill the babies together. So they both have like a shared responsibility, a shared culpability is the word I'm looking for in aborting a baby.
So now the Democrats think that God doesn't realize that times have changed, and that if it's the consensus of the people that killing babies is all right, then God should go along with that. Is that what they think?
No. But well, you know, they do think that it's outdated, yeah. but God thinks that he changes not.
Right.
He says, I'm God, I change not.
So that's what you call, he's immutable, huh?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so here now, he goes, he says, they that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. In other words, they're saying, let's flaunt our sin in front of God.
Right, I dare you.
Yes.
And see what God will do about
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Daring.
Is that a smart thing?
It's a dare. Dare to God.
Let me ask you this, because I remember watching this young punky college kid. He got up, he found himself a platform, and he got up on a college campus, and he said, God, if you're up there, come on, God, where are you at? All these fools were laughing and mocking, okay? Can God be tempted by man?
No.
No.
Does God pick the time and the place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does God know what the future holds for you?
Yes.
Does God know that maybe in your future you have a special day, a day that means more to you than any other day? Remember, I always like to use the example of Herod the Magnificent. Herod, it was his birthday celebration, and he stood out, and he was in a suit made of silver, his birthday suit, and it shined in the sunlight, and he stood, and he waxed eloquently, giving a speech, and all of those that were trying to garner his favor had gathered because they needed the trade routes, and they stood there, and one man yells out, you're not a man, you're a god, and what did Herod the Magnificent, how did he respond?
Got eaten by worms.
Well, he accepted the worship, if you will. That was how he responded. Mm-hmm. Now, God responded another way.
Yes.
So, are you having a good birthday if you're eating alive right in front of the people?
No.
It's not a good birthday.
Right? That's exactly right.
Okay. Now, you know, we often mention a fellow of our day, Elvis Presley. When Elvis Presley was given a concert, and I had been watching that. These are years ago. I was watching that, these women stood up, and they had this banner about 25 feet long, and it says, Elvis is king. Elvis, when he saw that, you could tell he was frightened, okay?
Yeah.
He saw that, the look on his face. You think Elvis was very well aware of what happened to Herod the Magnificent?
Yes.
He was raised in the church, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
So what did Elvis do? He said, take it down now, right now. Okay.
That's right.
He said, Jesus is king, huh?
Yes.
Was there any king but King Jesus? Do we recognize any king but King Jesus?
That's Jesus is Lord. Everybody will proclaim it and profess it, confess it, either now or later.
Yes.
But you will do it.
So that's going to happen, right?
That's going to happen, yeah.
Okay, so we have some absolutes. He says this, woe unto them to call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light, light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So let's look at that. We just looked at some examples. They call murder, the killing of a child,
no good thing.
They call it, woman's right, right?
Women's right, population control.
Yeah.
It's not a life, it's just a lump of flesh and whatever else they want to call it. Yeah.
When they put darkness for light, they promote, did you ever hear of?
It's my right to choose.
Yeah.
It's my right to choose.
But darkness here, he's referring to in other ways too. What about when he's talking about white witchcraft? Have you ever seen white witchcraft?
No, it's all witchcraft.
Only in the flesh. I've seen white people.
White witches?
I've seen white witches. I've seen some black ones too.
Yeah. But is there any such thing as a good witch?
No.
Okay. And so they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Oh, boy, look at this one. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Well, does that sound like Governor Newsom out of California?
Yes.
Okay. Does that...
Kamala Harris.
Sound like...
Yeah. You know,
listen. Those two words, wise and Kamala, do not belong together in any time, okay? And... but now, entertaining, I'll never forget when she told her or sang her Yellow School Bus song.
Oh, yes.
I'll never forget. I listened to this, the depth of that song, because she said it with such meaning. She said, a yellow school bus. A yellow school bus. A yellow school bus. Who doesn't love a yellow school bus? And those words have stuck with me ever since.
Yes.
Every time I see a yellow school bus, I think of Kamala. Okay, there you go.
And actually, that is not the official color. I used to know what it was, but it's something that's like not even yellow. They call it that color that's universal on all the school buses is not even called yellow by the people that paint them.
I think that's a racist statement. Anything you don't agree or understand, it's a racist statement. Okay, so now he goes on to say, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward. So he gives you six different woes there, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, it looks like God has a remedy for that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He says, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against this people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all of this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. That means he is continuing to deliver his judgment.
His judgment, yeah.
Does this world realize that it's under God's judgment right now? What percentage of the people do you think really realize what's happening?
People, I always say there's three types of people. People that watch things happen, people that make things happen, and then the people that don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
And so it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to go with one more verse.
Okay.
And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. Now, he's talking about an application in those days that was close by, because they were about to feel God's wrath for their wickedness, the rebellion. But also, it has a prophetic for last days connotation here. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, will hiss unto them the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly.
Is that where you got that from?
Yeah.
Is that where you got that from? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the whole I'm not going to go into that story.
Yeah, that's a
that
personal
was a,
joke.
That
that's
was
a private
story.
Joke.
Yes.
That fella and I ended up being friends, believe it or not. It was interesting. All right, two quick announcements. Got to make these announcements. Guess what's going to be happening on the 8th and the 9th at the Embassy Suites, right?
Right down the street. That's right, like it is every year. Yep.
Right down the street from where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. Bringing America back to life. And it's the largest pro-life, I guess you would call it the pro-life convention in the country, right?
That's right.
It takes place. And we go every year, don't we?
Yes.
And that's going to take place. If it starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that's on the 8th and the 9th of March. And guess who? You're going to have a couple people there. I mentioned, well, one of the guests who's going to be speakers is going to be a fellow that's going to be here with us tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, that's
okay.
Right. Okay.
Lord's willing. Now, I almost hate to mention the names before they come on because in the past, when I have done this, especially certain people, everything you can imagine has tried to take us down. Now, this fella is not liked by, I should say, the death culture.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just hold off and mention his name, okay? And then, and all of those pro-deathers will be listening tomorrow to see who he is, right?
Uh-huh. That's right.
All righty.
But to back you up on that, before I knew you guys, remember I met you guys there, as a matter of fact, I urge everybody to go. And it's broken up really, really nice, speaker by speaker. So if you can only stay a portion of it, you can still catch who you'd like in that. And it's online, and you can kind of see who the people are and that sort of thing. So, but I encourage you to at least come and see a portion of it. And there's a wealth of information there with resources and people that are there about it, numerous things. It's the biggest, largest right to life conference in America, isn't it?
It is.
It is. It's the biggest one. Yeah.
Yes.
And so in order to register, you've got plenty of time. You can go to bringingamericabacktolife.org. Go up on the website to bringingamericabacktolife.org, and you can register because I'll be running around there meeting and greeting people on Friday on the 8th, right?
Yes.
I'll be there both days.
And I'll be there on Friday.
Yeah. All day.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah, I usually stay both days all day. Yeah.
And anyhow, so.
and there's breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you want to, you know, if you want to include that in your package or just one of them or whatever. Like I said, there's no reason to leave there, or you can if you want to go out. And it's in a great location. You're near a lot of places to go to lunch, and a lot of things are nearby.
Well, you have other places right in there to go to lunch.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Right in
okay,
the
and so, and there's a lot. Some of the guests, well, fellow we've had on this program in the past, Martin Houck, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He's a pro-life warrior whose family was under attack by the FBI for being pro-life.
Yeah.
And so, and the Injustice Department, the absolutely, completely, and totally corrupt Justice Department that went after him and his family. And then also, you've got folks going to be there. One of the fellows is a guy named David Prentice. He's going to be there. He's the former vice president of the Charlotte Laser Institute and one of the world's premier scientists and public advocates arguing safe and ethical biotechnology. Boy, that's interesting, huh?
And how about a lot of them might even listen to Molly? Molly will be there, too.
Uh-huh.
Can't forget her.
Yep, Joe Dallas will be there, and he's a speaker and a pastoral counselor and the author of Christians. I'm going to go ahead and tell him. We're scheduled to have Pastor Arthur Polisky here with us tomorrow night. Arthur Polisky. And Arthur is He's a pro-life activist, and he's the pastor that was jailed in Canada for holding church services when they didn't want him to, when they tried to shut his church down. And guess what? He did exactly like what we did. We also would not, and we also refused to take the death shot.
Yes.
And and you know why? Because the Bible says we must obey God rather than man, huh?
That's
yes.
right.
We'll be back right after this.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? I never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh, God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Oh, I'd buy him everything. But now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? Daddy, did I have to die?
The answer to that was no. He didn't have to. If the pastors and the church had done their job, we never, ever would have legalized killing little babies. And that's the reality, folks. That's the truth. Now, anyhow, that was my dear friend, longtime friend, the very talented writer, songwriter, and singer, Danny Ray. And we have with us here tonight, Angela Hogel. And Angela's here to talk about embryo adoption. And, well, hello, Angela. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
All right. You know, you just heard that song by Danny Ray. You know, so many people, all these years, we fought and fought for 50, over 50 years. I've been fighting that horrible, horrible sin of abortion, child killing. And I'm going to continue because, you know, God's word, the Bible's pretty clear. Earlier we talked about that. So many people in this country don't realize God's not mocked. And if God calls it murder, it's murder. And we were talking about earlier how one of the biggest lies that's being told out there today by the pro-death movement, because the Democratic Communist Party now, that's going to be their issue. They say whatever they run on the issue of abortion, the women in this country are so wicked that they're going to win, because, you know, the Bible says all of those that hate God love death, right? But that's not what God says. And in the end, who's going to get his way? God's going to get his way, huh? And so he says those women that kill their babies deserve to die. That's what he says. They deserve to die. Well, I'm going to tell you, for some reason, maybe because that message has been watered down and because the pastors have had not the courage to preach the way they should, these women think they have a right to kill their child. And so many people out there today, so many women are not able to have children, and they make adopting very difficult. For every baby that's available for adoption here, there's something like 30 couples for every one baby. What do you think of all that?
Yeah, it's really amazing what how many are out there that desire to have a family and would give anything to have a family. And yet we have so many, like you say, killing their children, and it's just very outstanding to me.
And so you had a situation where you had you could not have children, huh?
Yes. I have something called Turner syndrome, which because of that, I cannot have children on my own. The ovaries are not developed so that I cannot produce the egg. Other things come with Turner syndrome. Heart problems can be an issue. Kidney failure, liver, there's many. But God has been good, and I have not had any of that. But I was first diagnosed with Turner syndrome when I was in second grade. And they told us then that I would not be able to have children. So when the time came and I met my husband, we knew that we were going to have to go through adoption to be able to have a family. And like you say, they make it so difficult nowadays and so expensive. It just, we just could not really, we didn't feel the Lord was leading us do that necessarily. But then we had been married about 14 years when a friend of ours came to us and told us that there was a girl that they knew that was pregnant and did not want the child and wanted us to meet her. And so we did. And through talking with her, she decided that we would be the ones to adopt the baby. And we kept in contact through the pregnancy. And we came to the time where she was to have the baby. And she gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. And we had had our lawyer draw up a legal document and everything saying that we were to, the child's care was to come to us once she was born. And the boyfriend and the birth mom both signed that document. And, but when the baby was born, the boyfriend told us that the baby was to stay in their room. And we knew then that things were not probably going to work out. And
that's something that happens quite often. And when these young girls, after they see their baby, they hold their baby. And then they realize this here is what a precious gift of God this child is, right?
Exactly. That's so very true. And even a lot of times if they have an ultrasound, they'll see it and they'll see that precious child and realize it's a life. And so, like you say, she saw it and she held her. And so the next morning we had a social worker come in to the hospital and tell us that that was not a legal enough document, that they could not allow us to take the baby. And so then, like you said, she was kind of going that direction anyway, as far as not really wanting to give up the baby. And after that happened, it just turned her full circle. And we were devastated. Of course, we had a nursery already. We had everything prepared to bring a baby home. And she asked us to go ahead and leave the hospital. And so the next day after we left the hospital, she texted me and said that she was going to keep the baby. And so then, you know, we had been married 14 years at that time. And we, you know, we had thought, you know, maybe the Lord just is telling us, no, we're not supposed to have a family. But as we prayed about it, we felt the Lord wasn't done. And so we did more research on what we could do. And we came across something called embryo adoption. And what embryo adoption is, these couples that go through IVF, and maybe they get 7 or so embryos when they do this. And they want maybe 2 children. And so they have these extra embryos left. They have this option now, instead of destroying these precious lives, they have the option to donate them to these clinics like we went to that will save them. And they are, you know, they're for these couples like us that cannot have children and give them the chance to have a family. And so we felt led to go down. We actually first called a place in Akron, and they gave us a number to a place down in Knoxville, Tennessee, the NEDC, and they cleared us. We had to go through a home study just like you would do any other adoption. We had to go through that. And then I had to go through a physical to make sure I was physically able to carry a pregnancy. With having Turner's, I was definitely high risk. Like I had said, the heart is a big problem with Turner syndrome. So they had me at a cardiologist and everything, but everything checked out. And so then we decided, they gave us a list of donors. And you get everything about them, their medical history, hair color, eye color, anything you can imagine. You get the info about them and you choose, and then you go down for a transfer. And we went down for the transfer and it did not take. We do not know why for sure. Because we had great growing babies. He said they looked great. He did not understand why the first one didn't work. So then we had another decision to make as far as, do we try again or do we, you know, just say, okay, this is it. I mean, at this time, it had been even a couple years. So we were close to being 16 years of marriage and, you know, maybe it's not to be.
Let me ask you here about the process. So how do they get the embryos? Do they collect your eggs and fertilize them in a petri dish, or how does that work?
Yeah. When they go through, these couples go through IVF, and they have their embryos made because, you know, maybe they're having difficulty, maybe they need a donor, or, you know, they just you know, so they put them in that dish, yes, and they become the embryo. And some may have 7 or so embryos through that. When these couples that are fighting infertility, they go through IVF and they, you know, have these embryos. They may, like I said, maybe want 2 children. They've gotten their 2 and they have maybe 5 embryos left through that process.
So what do they do with the 5 embryos left?
I'm sorry?
What do they do with the 5 embryos that are left?
Well, and see, that is what's so great about these clinics that we went to, is now they have a choice. They, these couples that have these embryos, can choose to give those embryos to these clinics like the one down in Knoxville. And instead of having them destroyed, instead of taking the lives of these precious children, they can donate them to these clinics, and then these clinics put them in for for these couples like us.
So when what happened was, the first time it failed, was that because they failed to attach to the uterus?
Yes. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
So let me ask you this, because, you know, to this process must be expensive. It sounds to me, I know most of these things are very expensive to do.
You know, actually, in comparison to, like, your normal adoption, it's not really. It's very much cheaper than if you were to go through an actual adoption. And plus, there are grants and different things that you can apply for to help out as well. So really, in retrospect, it's not, when you're looking for different avenues, it's not one of your more expensive ways.
All right. So is this, something that is becoming more and more popular, more people will do?
It is. It is more than it was even when we went through it. But there's still quite a few couples out there that are fighting infertility that don't realize that embryo adoption is an option for them. And that's why I really feel a burden to share and get the word out about embryo adoption. First of all, it helps out the couple. And second of all, it saves lives of these precious children, and they get a chance to have a loving home.
Well, you're being heard coast to coast right now. And so for people out there listening and saying, well, you know, I didn't even know about that, or it might be interesting, what do they do? Go up on the internet under embryo adoption? How do they find out about it?
You can do that, yeah. You can look under embryo adoption, or you can just go and look under NEDC, National Embryo Adoption Center, and you can find their site and find out more information there, and call them and find out more about it. But, yeah, I mean, it's getting more popular, but it's still kind of an unknown thing to a lot of couples.
Okay, so let me ask you about this, because I know for regular adoption, there's age limits set here, I think.
Right.
In Ohio, I believe for the woman, it was like 49. It used to be, I don't know what it is now, 49. And I think for the men, it was 59.
Yeah, there is an age limit. And actually, my husband and I were just about there when I got pregnant, I was 39 and going to be 40. He was born in August. And then that November, I turned 40. And that was close to their limit. I couldn't tell you right now. It's been a few years if things have changed. But I know back when we had it, my age was like right at the limit as to what they want a woman to be able to, for safe, you know, because even in a normal pregnancy, you know, if you have a baby upper 30s, 40s, they consider you a higher risk because of your age. And so that's kind of how they look at it, too. So, yeah, there is an age limit there.
And my mother, when she had the youngest of her children, my youngest brother, there was 17 years difference between him and me and our age. And, and the doctors at first thought that he was a cyst and not a baby because of my mother's age. He was 49 years old. Okay. And, I remember that if my brother's listed, I used to tease him all the time because I my mother to the hospital to have him. And, and so I used to tell my brother when we went to pick you up, I said, "Mom, are you sure you want to take him home?" But so he's probably listening to me right now. And so, Jim, if you're listening, I don't want to embarrass you. There you go. All righty, I'll be hearing about this tomorrow. But go ahead, finish your story there. It's interesting.
So, yeah, we ended up going back again for the second transfer, and that time it did work. I was so nervous. I was literally, because you have to wait after your transfer, you have to wait 2 weeks for a pregnancy test to see if it took and everything. So that is a heart-wrenching time when you're waiting those 2 weeks. And so those 2 weeks got there, and I was literally shaking on the couch when I saw the number on my phone. But she said, "You're pregnant." And so we were just so thrilled. And, you know, you talk about, you know, pro-life. You know, I have always been pro-life. But when you see that baby on an ultrasound for the first time, there's nothing like it. And I, when you get pregnant, the clinic has you go in for a 6-week ultrasound to make sure the baby's doing okay and everything's all right. And so we went in for our 6-week ultrasound, and the technician was sitting there and she was showing us, and the baby was kind of making a little movement there, and she goes, "Do you know what that is?" And I'm like, "No, what's going on?" And she goes, "That's the heartbeat of the baby." And we were just like, wow, it's just, it's overwhelming when you see that. And, you know, I think to myself, you know, there's a lot of women that don't even know at 6 weeks that they're pregnant yet. And yet that baby has a heartbeat and it is a human. And it's just, it's such a miracle. And it was just overwhelming to me when you see that baby for the first time. And so everything, they had me continually checked with the cardiologist to make sure everything was going good with my heart and everything, with having Turner's, and everything was going great. I had a wonderful pregnancy. But the doctor, because of having Turner's and having a heart problem, did not want me to go into labor. So we were scheduled for a C-section, and but that went very smooth, no problems there. And I gave birth to a healthy baby boy back in 2015, and he is now 8 years old and in third grade.
Well, praise the good Lord. Children are a blessing from the Lord, huh?
Yes, they definitely are. He has been our joy, and he is, oh my. If he were awake right now, I'd have him talk to you. He is Mr. Social. He will talk your ear off. He loves everybody and just gives you a big old smile. And he is this one bubbly boy.
You know, if these young women especially would learn how much better adoption is, I mean, if they would understand that, if they don't want that child, there's so many people out there that do. And
exactly.
God has said, I have set before you this day life and death. So choose life and a blessing and not death and a curse. And these girls, these young women that commit abortion, that kill their babies, do you know that their rate of suicide is 7 times higher than their contemporaries?
But they don't tell you that side. You know, they don't want you to know that.
That's why we're here tonight. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
And so we do tell that side of the story, and that's why you're on the program tonight, telling your side what a blessing it's like, and what some people have to go through to try to have a child. And your story is one of the success stories, but there's a lot out there that aren't, and people that have tried so hard, huh?
Yes, definitely. And I feel their heartbreak. You know, like I said, for 16 years, I desired a child. I used to pray what I call Hannah's Prayer. There was in 1 Samuel there, you know, bless me with a child. And I prayed that for so long, and so many tears were shed. And but at the right time, and in a way, you know, God even allowed me to have a pregnancy and to be able to carry a child. And I feel so blessed that he allowed me to do that. You know, not only did he give me a child, but he allowed me to carry it. And it was such a blessing.
Well,
after waiting 16 years.
I've had, and over the years where we have talked to these women. In fact, we have a song called The Preacher, and it's a true story where we have convinced these women to choose life and not death. So many of them have gotten back to me. But I found it something, an interesting thing. They get back to you, but the average till about the baby's about 3 years old. And then after that, it starts the realization that they really don't want their child to have any idea that they were going to abort them. And that's how I usually see them for about 3 years. When they'll actually stop by sometimes and bring the baby with them and show me.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Angela, we're running up against the clock. I want to thank you for being here with me tonight. Angela Hogel, tell the folks one more time quickly how they can, if they want to, that they can do what you did.
Oh, well, sure. You can look, of course, up on the internet. You can mark embryo adoption, or you can look up the exact clinic that my husband and I use, which was NEDC, National Embryo Donation Center, in Knoxville, Tennessee. You can look that up as well.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here with me tonight. And
thank you so much for having me.
All righty. Well, God bless you. Have yourself a great day, and keep doing all of that good pro-life work.
I will. Thank you, and you too.
All right.
God bless.
God bless. All righty, folks. You know where I'm going to be, Lord's willing, next Thursday, February 22nd, at 5:45. I will be at the Hilton Akron Fairlawn. They're at 3180 West Marcus Street, just meeting and greeting people, because they're having, the Ohio Christian Alliance is having candidates night. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to look at these candidates, tell them what I think. All right. And just meeting and greeting and saying hi to the folks out there. So for more information, you can call 330-887-1922. It's not too late to register. Be right back after this. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.